You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. We could be on the cusp of learning a lot more about the native cultures that inhabited Michigan before European settlement. A researcher at the University of New Hampshire is using technology to find Native American cash pits. Megan Howie joins us now. So first of all, what's a cash pit?
Okay. A cash pit is...
And we're saying C-A-C-H-E.
Yeah, not, cash. Yeah. Like cash, like... cash your savings store. It's essentially, it's a subterranean, like underground dugout storage pit. You would dig kind of a storage pit. Native peoples would use kind of the earth as a refrigeration technique, dig these kind of, you know, 3-4 feet deep kind of holes, circular kind of holes, line them with birch bark, which is amazing, has these amazing kind of properties of keeping mold away, keeping dampness away, and then fill it with their food products, potentially other kind of daily use products that as they moved through their kind of seasonal rounds of hunting, gathering, and farming and come back to these storage pits. So they're essentially old-fashioned refrigeration techniques, you know, kind of storage places. So
now, these are not uncommon, but they're hard to find because they're so old and they've been filled in and everything else.
Yes.
So you've found some in the past, but recently you found a lot more. Tell us about that.
So these are quite common, but they're very hard to find because they dug them and then they took the stuff out and exactly they filled in over time because they're several thousand years old, 800 to 1,000 years old. So they filled in over time and now they're just kind of these shallow pits, especially in wooded areas, quite shallow, small kind of circular depressions. And I've spent several years working up around Douglas and Burt Lake in northern Michigan looking for cache pits and then trying to find sites people were living at associated with them. And after 8 years of walking the woods, we found 69 cache pit clusters. Feeling pretty good about this, you know, and the clusters will have sometimes hundreds of cache pits. So, but then we got the chance to work with LIDAR,
which I should probably explain.
LIDAR data. The state of Michigan is actually trying to fly LIDAR for the whole state. They have a program. LIDAR essentially sends pulses of lasers to create surface models of the earth, and it'll penetrate through vegetation. It's pretty amazing technology. It's attached to planes, and they fly, and it creates these very detailed models of the Earth's surface, the terrain.
So it's like topographic
maps of very high resolution, but the power of it is it penetrates through vegetation canopy because it has these lasers. So you get much better models of the Earth than previous methods. So they were flying this for the state, not for archaeological purposes, but we got the chance, some early access to this LIDAR data from the region around Douglas and Burt Lake, where the University of Michigan Biological Station's housed. And when we worked with it through some pretty complex kind of computer modeling work, we were able to find cache pits. We used the ones I knew where they were to prove that we could find them. And then we ran it for the whole LIDAR data set we had. And 8 years, 69 cache pits. 1 week, we found 150 cache pits. So 1 week of LIDAR work.
Well, that's pretty efficient. Is this new technology? I mean, has this been used other places?
Yeah, it's used. I think what's really interesting about the work what we did with it is archaeologists have been using this in the big places you think of archaeology, which we tend not to really pay attention to in Michigan as much as I hope some of the work we've been doing tells us we should. And they've flown LIDAR a lot in Mayan areas, Angkor Wat and Cambodia, big, big societies, big sites in tropical forests. So it's been used, but it hasn't been used to find kind of the more subtle modifications from the past, like this kind of thing.
So you know where these are. Yeah. Do you actually excavate them?
Yeah, I have.
So tell us about what you might find.
Well, not much. That's the, you know, if a good cache pit was a good cache pit, it stored the food and they took it out and they were empty. But what's interesting, so I did several excavations because you could see how they built them, which is pretty kind of amazing engineering feats in sand. They would, you know, you can see the kind of choices they made about how to structure these so they would be stable in sandy soils. You find some evidence of the materials like berry seeds through very detailed analyses of the soils. You can tell a little bit what they stored in these berries, acorns, corn. You get very small remnants. So you don't find much, but you get a sense of the kind of amazing engineering ability that the pre-contact people had.
I was kind of imagining there might be pottery shards
sometimes,
or something like that.
Sometimes. Rarely, because they would store things in pots if they broke on their way out. I do find them often on the edge of a cash pit. You'll find a couple broken pot shirts. I have – it's, you know, low-density stuff, which makes sense because these are – the point of storing is to take it away, right? So you wouldn't expect a lot of stuff left behind. So
a lot of Native American sites often have been destroyed. These are different because they're underground and people don't know that there's anything there. It's not like mounds that we find.
Yeah, and I've done a lot of work on mounds and earthworks, and those have been.
But you're still trying to keep it more or less secret where you've discovered these cache pits.
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, I think, you know, it's really important cultural heritage. You know, these are cultural heritage resources for the state of Michigan and for the tribal peoples who are the descendants of these. And while they don't have much in them, there's a lot of potential to learn more from them. And once you dig something up, it's gone forever. Even I limit my excavations because I know technology like this is improving. Once you dig it, it's non-renewable resource. Archaeological materials are gone once you take it out of the ground. And I think you can get, you know, you should just be sensitive to the fact that these are non-renewable. These are sensitive sites. They reflect this great history and heritage that we have a lot to learn from. And if we kind of release where we find all of this stuff to the, we find people did dig into them, like kind of looters, people that see these and do have some sense that they're archaeological. And you'll find that they'll dig down into them. And if you get that kind of damage, it just destroys that record, you know?
No. These are on the earth. You said they were 800 to 1,000 years old. How do you date something like that?
Yeah.
And was it just that 200-year period that these were fashionable? Did they change or did they continue to make these
later centuries? Great question. I was dating these cache pits is somewhat hard, but from the work that has been done on them, they consistently show up around 1200 AD. There's a kind of fluorescence of this storage practice of the need to store your food, which is really interesting because it tells you a lot about the kind of social and economic life. Like, what is it that changes at 1200 AD that makes the communities need to store food suddenly at kind of much larger scale? That's a kind of cool anthropological question that I'm interested in. But so we know
agriculture, one assumes.
Agriculture has a big impact, but in this essentially, the rise of maize agriculture kind of precipitates this change. And even people who aren't growing corn, like in the area I work, there's not a lot of evidence of corn, are in response to those growing corn intensifying their own use of the wild resources. Kind of it sets into motion a kind of increase in economic activity. So they are using these in this late period. We know from the ones that have been excavated from their association with known late, this kind of 1200 AD sites, that people build them right up through contact, and historic Anishinaabe groups continue to build them through kind of the 1800s. So there's also this great ethnohistoric component where we know how they dug them and filled them because of that. And then they fell out of use.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm wondering. Why did they fall out of use?
I think modernization and development and, you know, by the kind
so,
of...
So they were being built up to...
The 1800s, say, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
European
settlement. By historic groups. And historic Native Americans continue to build them. And actually, there's some great narratives of this guy, John Tanner, who was a captive. I put that in air quotes, which you can't see on the radio. But, you know, he ended up living with the Ojibwe groups in the Great Lakes, and he would rave about how efficient these storage pits were that they were building. This was in the 1700s, and he would say, what a great efficient method for storing your food over winter. They've really got it figured out compared to European storage methods where stuff is rotting all the time. So it's, I think, just modernization, reservation life, these kind of things changed the dynamics and ability. So
you've checked out this one area. Do you have plans to check out the entire state?
I have great desire. I want to do this for the whole state. Well, starting with the northern area where we know there's a lot more forest and chance of finding these. Yes, I have plans. I think as the LIDAR data becomes available for the whole state, my goal would be to do it for the whole state and beyond as LIDAR's flown in Wisconsin and other parts of the Great Lakes too. So Michigan's really pioneering this LIDAR flying for the state, and I hope to take great advantage of it. Yes, so...
That's Megan Howie. She's an associate professor of anthropology at the University of New Hampshire working in Michigan. Thanks very much for coming in and telling us about
this. Thanks. That's fun. Yeah.